The book of Hebrews, chapter 13. We're reading from verse 8, please, of Hebrews 13. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for this time tonight we have had to be able to sing thy praises, and we ask that the truth that these hymns contain would be again emphasized to our heart. Help us, Lord, we pray, to walk close with thee. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let us not be content to stay within the walls of the city, but rather to go where Christ himself is. And Lord, whatever reproach we are called to bear, which seems to be so little in our time, Lord, whatever we are called upon to do for thy name, let us not be fearful. Let us not be fearful. Lord, bless us, we pray, and help us and strengthen us with might in the inner man. Now, Lord, I pray that I will know the help of thy Spirit in bringing the word tonight, and that as the word has been already read, it would be a blessing to every heart. Lord, speak to us, I pray. Give everyone in this church building and everyone watching online thy Spirit to understand. And not only that we will understand, but that we will put into practice, Lord, that we will apply the truth to our hearts and we will be changed. Hear our prayers now tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. No continuing city. Verse 14 is what we're thinking about tonight. And I have a subtitle under this which simply reads, Our Real Estate in Heaven. Our Real Estate in Heaven. We have no continuing city. The Christian has no permanency in this world. All things are passing away, and all that is material, and let's come to understand this, all that is material in this world will pass away. It will be destroyed. All the exotic, polished automobiles that catch the attention of those who are enthusiasts that drive by and they turn your head and you're, well, they do mine anyway, and you look at them and think, wow, that's a nice car. All of those things, they will one day be destroyed. All of your meticulously decorated homes that take so much time to put everything in order and everything in place and all the pictures hung in the wall the right way, they will one day be destroyed. And all the cherished objects, everything that grabs our attention, and all the wardrobes of carefully chosen dresses and suits will one day be destroyed. Last evening in my house, I was called upon to do a job, and the job was to replace a screw from a hanging thing that kept clothing. And the weight was so much on this hanging structure that it pulled it out of the wall. So I had to get the screw gun and the nail and the washer and drill out the hole and put it into the plywood and make sure it were, pardon me, into the 2x4 and make sure that thing was secured. And I put a 3-inch screw in it so it wasn't coming out again. But I just happened to remind you that there were no men's suits hanging on that rail. There were all other kinds of clothing that were hanging on that rail. Anyways, all of these things, they're going by the wayside, and they will be destroyed. The message that is contained in these words of our text, no continuing, it means no enduring city. Nothing that's going to be abiding here on this earth. It's because of the temporary nature of life. And I know I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know, but it is important for us at times to be reminded of these things. Why? Because we are human, all of us, and we are affected by the humanness of our environment. We're affected by things that touch us in our human condition. And therefore, it's very important for us to realize that these things are passing away. Do we need sometimes to have our attention to these matters? Do we at times need to have ourselves adjusted in the way we look at these things? I believe we do. I know that I do. And I know that I'm preaching and talking to myself when I say these things. And this truth should bring into perspective this life. And how often do we fret about small things? When if we saw them in the light of eternity, they would become so unimportant. The Lord Jesus suffered and He died for us outside of the gate. He was crucified in that place of Calvary, in the place of punishment and death. And the Lamb shed His own precious blood that we might be forgiven for our sins. And all of Hebrews and all of the Old Testament pictures, they pointed toward that great truth of the innocent dying for the guilty. And these things are reality. These things are important for us. And the wonder of God's eternal purpose that He would send His only begotten Son into the world to die for people like us is a wonder, my dear friend, that we cannot properly understand. And so in light of this great fact that Christ suffered and died, we are called to therefore go forth unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach, just as Abraham did, just as Moses did, just as Joseph did, and just as so many of the Old Testament characters. We're all journeying as pilgrims. We are all as strangers and foreigners. We're, in one sense, we are like tourists. We don't have any abiding citizenship in this earth. Oh yes, you have your passport to this nation, but it's very temporary. And we all must be reminded that as the world hated Christ, so the world will hate the followers of the Lord. And so we who are very temporary on this journey, let us not forget and be reminded that we have a permanent place in heaven. The question is, well, why are we exhorted and commanded to think along this line? Why are we exhorted to go outside the gate where Christ is? That's not a place that's very attractive, certainly not to the world, but as we have been thinking already, we will align ourselves with the Savior when we do that. We will be enabled to testify of Him as we are associated with the Lord, and we will be able to stand with Him. And if need be, maybe we'll be called to suffer for Him as well. The Lord calls us to go where He is. For here, my dear friends, on this earth, we have no continuing, no abiding city, but we seek one to come. As I read over this and as I have studied it, I am struck by such a profound statement that it is. For it brings into focus how we should view our lives on this earth. And I want to speak to you tonight. We will not lose sight of our eternal home. That we will not lose sight of the real estate that we have in heaven, because here we have no continuing place. There are some things that this verse teaches us, and I have listed simply five of them. First of all, it teaches us that our foundation must be firmly set on Christ. And secondly, that our focus, it must be adjusted to see things from heaven's perspective. And thirdly, that our funds must be directed to a lasting investment. And fourth, that our feet must not be too attached to this world. And then finally, this verse teaches us that our future is secure in Christ. Now, I've gone over those quite quickly, and I'll repeat them as we come through them. But first of all, please notice that our foundation must be firmly set on Christ. Do you know, at the time when the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, the city of Jerusalem was still standing. Jerusalem itself had not been destroyed. It was written, we believe, the book of Hebrews, a couple of years before 70 AD. In 70 AD, the Romans came into the city of Jerusalem and they completely destroyed it. And such a massacre has hardly been known in human history of people who were slain. And what they did, they completely destroyed the temple. And not one stone was left upon another stone. They raised it to the foundation. Jesus Christ Himself prophesied of this. In Matthew 24 and verse 2, He said, "There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now these things are significant because in the book of Hebrews, the application to the Jewish mind has been all to do with the Jewish sacrifice. And yet here the apostle, though the temple, it's not believed, had been destroyed at this point because it's not mentioned at all in this book. And yet he is saying to them, you don't have a continuing city here. You do not have a place that deserves your affection and your attention. And now keep that in your mind because he's addressing his writing to the Jewish mind. And they had always been brought up to have great respect and admiration for the temple and the city. It was Jerusalem the golden. It was the temple that was the center of worship for the entire Jewish mindset. And yet he is saying to these dear people, that's not the place of your attention. The place of your attention is outside the city walls where the cross was. Outside the city walls where your Savior suffered and died. That's the focal point of your attention. That's where we need to concentrate. And then in the
few years that would have followed after when Jerusalem was indeed destroyed, why, it would have been riveted home to those people who were still alive that witnessed or knew anything about this. Now they saw crystal clear, yes, God is setting aside that part, that dispensation. He's finished with that now. All sacrifices are gone, replaced by the once for all sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the enduring principle here. So often we can set our attention in the wrong place, and in this life and in this world. We're told in Colossians 3 and verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. In this world, we have no solid foundation on which we can build for eternity. And my dear friend, it's not until you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as the foundation of your life that you will have an understanding of the eternal city. That you will have a real conception of what it means to be in fellowship with God. For the Apostle Paul said, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He is your only hope tonight. For He is my only hope tonight. And I thank God for the day that the Lord saved me. And I thank God for the day that I, by faith, cast my all upon Him. And I am standing today on the solid rock of the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that means that I have an eternal home and no continuing city here. There is no permanent residency status that I seek after in this place. Turn back for a moment to chapter 11 of Hebrews. We spent some time going through this chapter in our study, and we were impressed by the various ways that the Lord has shown to us how that faith was alive in the hearts of His servants. And in verse 8, it talks about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Why, this dear man went out by the call of God, not knowing whither he was going, only that the Lord had called him and said, go to a place that I'm going to give you as an inheritance. But do you see what the Lord is saying here? That Abraham, by faith, yes, believed and obeyed the call of God to go out to see that land that was an inheritance. But what was he really searching after? Nothing temporal in this life or this earth. But he was looking for a city. He was looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is a city that did not come under construction of human hands. This is the city made by God Himself. This is an eternal city. And that's what Abraham was looking for. And that's, my dear friend, is exactly through faith what you and I are looking for. And we will only come to grasp this city when we have set the Lord Jesus as the foundation spiritually in our lives. Christ is the only foundation for your eternal soul. Friend, maybe you're here tonight in this very meeting and you do not know if you are truly saved by God's grace. You're not sure. You've heard the gospel before, perhaps. You've had the word of God applied to your heart, but you're just not sure. Well, right where you are seated now, in the quietness of your own mind and heart, just simply pray, Lord, please open my understanding. Lord, come into my life and save my soul and forgive me of my sin so that I can know that I am building my life for eternity on the foundation, on the only foundation that matters, on the Lord Jesus himself. Please let us notice, secondly, we learn from this verse in Hebrews 13 that our focus must be adjusted to see things from heaven's perspective. Our focus must be adjusted to see things from heaven's perspective. This can only be done as we submit ourselves and our thinking to the Word of God. The Apostle Paul said in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4:16, he said this, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment," what is it doing? It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. "While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And my, when the apostle brought that message to the Corinthian people, who were themselves very focused on what was going on around them, on the things of this life, and it caused them great distress and discomfort. And the apostle is saying to them, no, your focus is wrong. Let's come and adjust the focus and see clearly. But this life and this world is not our home. We are simply passing through. Let us therefore have our eyes firmly fixed upon our eternal destiny. Let all of life's issues, my dear friends, let all of life's issues be weighed in the balance of heaven and of home. Because if we do not do that, we will become overcome with distress. If we look at things on the horizontal plane and we do not see things on the vertical plane, we will miss out. God wants us to see things from heaven's perspective, and that's where our focus has to be. The more we train our spiritual vision to see beyond the present distress to the greater purpose of the glory of Christ, the more we will be moved by the changing circumstances. We will have our eyesight fixed upon the living God. We will see Him. In James 4 and verse 4, it says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanishes away." And as you unplug the kettle after it's boiled, and after you take it off the boil, it doesn't take very long before that vapor disappears. And that's the illustration of our life. A little time, and then it's vanished away. Oh, my dear friends, let us pray that God will give us discernment and wisdom to view things from a perspective of heaven, and if necessary, to see that our focus will be adjusted. We know that God knows the end from the beginning. We know that He is not in heaven wringing His hands in despair. Nothing takes the Lord by surprise. He is never caught off guard. You know, this trust in the sovereign plan and purpose of our eternal Lord, it gives to us great clarity in confusing times. When others are wringing their hands, and we confess sometimes we might be doing the same thing, but we need to have a perspective change. And we need to see things as the Lord sees them to the best of our ability. And because the Lord does not fret, He is not troubled about things that are going on in this earth, no matter what empires and kings or presidents or prime ministers are doing, the Lord is moving them all by His sovereign hand. And He is overseeing everything. God is in control of all things, my friends. And you know something? He sees the finished picture. And to us, we look at the canvas. What do we see? We see a lot of brush strokes. and they don't make sense to us yet. But as the Lord continues, the great artist, and as he puts another stroke on, and he puts another color on, we see things developing. And by faith, we will understand that the Lord knows all things about us from the beginning to the end. Therefore, let not our heart be troubled, neither let your heart be afraid. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Let your focus be adjusted according to the Scripture, and realize that we have no remaining city here, no continuing place, but we seek one that is to come. So we've learned two lessons so far from this text. The third one is this, that our funds must be directed to a lasting investment. What do I mean by this? Well, sometimes investing in this life can be a very bad deal. It is like responding to a telemarketer to have your ducts cleaned. Have you received any of those calls at your home? Yes, a few have. As a matter of fact, Dr. McClelland leads the way in this. He has received 124 phone calls to have his ducts cleaned. Now, they must be very dirty. That's all I can say. These calls generally originate in the Far East, and I don't mean the Maritimes. They originate offshore somewhere, but they are certain to sell you something that you do not need. Well, the bottom line, they are complete scams. And so, we can look at a little thing like that. We can be somewhat amused because we're annoyed by the telemarketers that bother you at dinner time, and they're always trying to sell you something. There are some scams, and there are some of them that are unsuspecting ones. People are ready to take your money from you quicker than you can open your wallet, or perhaps quicker than you could give them your PIN, and they could get into your bank account. You have to guard the growing number of internet phishing scams and tricks there are. And while these ones are annoying and sometimes we can laugh at them, there are others that are much more elaborate. And one, for example, by the name of a man called Victor Lustig. Many years ago, he sold the Eiffel Tower for scrap metal. And he did it twice. And the first time he did it, the person who bought the Eiffel Tower from him for scrap metal was so embarrassed about it that they never came forward and acknowledged that they were scammed. And it wasn't until after it was sold the second time that the guy who was scammed the first time came out and acknowledged, "I also got bitten by this." So Lustig was a con artist that was expertise. And so I guess if he phoned you, well, he won't be phoning anymore, but if he was to have phoned you at that time or picked up the call, you might have been a little more easily deceived. There are bad investments. And there are sometimes investments that we would be drawn to that might be good in themselves and not a scam at all. But yet the sad thing is that they might not give you the return that you had hoped for. They might not bring back as much on your investment as you had hoped and thought. But my friend, you can never invest in heaven and be sorry in the long run. The Lord never will take advantage of his people. And when we invest in heaven, we are investing in something where the moth and the rust do not break through and do not corrupt, and thieves cannot steal your investment in glory. And the Lord commands us very properly that we should lay up our treasures in heaven. There are many ways we can do that, but certainly we can do it by our own tithing, by investing in the gospel work. That's the best return. And my The Lord will never default on any of His promises. When we support His gospel, when we support His work by faithful ministries that are true to His word, the Lord says that He will bless those who give. Give unto the Lord, we are told in the Gospel of Luke, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You see, when we tithe to the Lord, He has promised that He will bless that investment. Now, there is something called the prosperity gospel, which is a false gospel that promotes that if you give money to the Lord, no matter what you give to Him, He's going to multiply it 10 times back to you in economic increase. That is not true. But you see, what we give to the Lord by our faithful tithes and offerings, God has promised to bless. Now, He will bless you by your faithfulness in giving, but it's not necessary that you're going to multiply and become very rich just because you have given your tithes and offering to the Lord. But what He is doing, He is taking your faithful giving and He is marking that on your account in glory. That's laying up treasure in heaven for the Lord. And you may never see the return on that investment in a practical way on earth because you give to missions and missionaries, and we supply the funds for people around the world, and quite honestly, we may not know whatever becomes of all that. But God does. He marks it. He knows. His record keeping is perfect. He doesn't miss anything. He knows. And I am so blessed here by you in this congregation because you give. And many of you give sacrificially. And you give to support the local ministries here that we have in this congregation. And you give to support our missionaries. And you give to our mission board. And the Lord has and will continue to bless you in this. My dear friend, as you have learned the blessing of tithing, you've already received the blessing from Him. But it may be that there's some here and you have not yet experienced that blessing. And it may be that you're not tithing what the Lord has blessed you with. Well, I suggest to you from His word, the Lord says, you give to me and I will bless you back in return. And we give to the Lord by faith. And the scripture says, cast thy bread upon the waters and thou shalt find it after many days. And so when we give, but we don't only give our tithe, do we? We give our time to the Lord's work. We give our talents to the Lord's work. We are reinvesting our funds in all of those aspects, the Lord has promised that He will give us a return. But we must move on. And the fourth point tonight, it will be brief as well as the fifth one. It is simply this. We learn that our feet must not be too attached to this world. We often hear about our roots getting down too deeply. And the problem is that if our roots get down deeply, the Lord has to sometimes come along and pull us up by the roots because He wants to replant us someplace. Or He wants us not to become so attached to the things of this life. And we have a tendency to do that. So we have to be mindful that our feet must not be attached to this world because heaven is our home. And we are not citizens of this place. Our citizenship is in heaven. And therefore, my dear friends, let us remember we have no continuing city here, but we seek one that is to come. And so not only is it fourthly that our feet must not be attached, but finally, we know that our future is secure because of the permanence of heaven. My heaven is forever and forever. And you know what comes to me when I think about the permanence of heaven? And I think about the future that we have secure in Christ? It means this, because there is a stable government in heaven. God is the government of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is our King and ruler. And there will never be any power that will come to overthrow that government of heaven. It is stable. Oh, that we had more stable governments here on earth, that were free from corruption, that were free from bribery, that were free from lying. But that is not the case here. But in glory, we have a stable government because the Lord is the ruler. And we have also in heaven sustainable resources. We hear a lot about that today in the whole green economy. But in glory, there are resources that will never run dry. The fountain of the Lord, the blessings of God, the resources that we will need forever and forever, the Lord has promised. You do not know the half. You do not know even a portion of what God has prepared for them that love Him. But we also have the future that is secure for us, which means a satisfying rest, a stable government, sustainable resources, and satisfying rest for all eternity. Believer, that is our home, and that is our hope, and that's what we have tonight, because our real estate is in heaven, in that place that is secure for all eternity. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we ask tonight that we would be forgiven for the times that we have not seen clearly as we should have. Perhaps because we have allowed the things of this world to obscure and to cloud over, we pray that these will be taken away from us and that we will see crystal clear. That our focus will be adjusted, Lord, that we will realize that our foundation is firmly settled in our Savior, and that we follow Thee by faith each day, and that we will know the power of the Spirit of God enabling us, that we will not become overly fretful. We will lay up treasure in heaven. We know that our future is secure. So, Father, bless us tonight. Take us to our homes in safety, we pray. We again ask for any who are without the Savior, that their hearts will be open to Thy holy word, and they would see the Savior and receive Him as their own. So, Lord, part us now in Thy fear and with Thy rich blessing, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.